Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the message declared through angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first through the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard him, while God added his testimony by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
Excellent. My son Noah, he's going to be 11 years old soon, and he just started asking a whole new sets of questions why in his life. When he was a little kid, he would ask me all sorts of questions why, and his little questions, I could answer most of them. I knew the answers to most of those. But as he's getting a little older, his whys are becoming much more complicated, and I fear I'm not giving very good answers to him. But I think about that, about the need to find the answer to all of our questions why in the world. It can be an exhausting venture, particularly when you're stuck in the mess of the why. I've got friends that are very scientifically minded people. Oftentimes, it's like all of us in life, we're pursuing answers to all of the questions that all of us have. And some of my more scientifically minded people, they pursue truth also, but they're maybe in a slightly different way than I do. And I often wonder if they don't look at me and wonder, it's like, Bill, are you wasting your life on faith and on religion? Things in their minds that they may not be able to find verifiable truth for. You see, from a scientific standpoint, when you're trying to find truth, you've got certain burdens that need to be met and evidence that can be scrutinized and examined and then proven time and time again through the scientific method in order to know that you're going in the right direction. I, on the other hand, have gotten to the point of becoming much more comfortable with mystery in my life and of not necessarily having all of the answers to all of the great questions of why that I have. I'm becoming more comfortable with the answer of simply, I don't know. So when in life did you think that you had all of the answers? I think I gave up the idea of having all the answers when I was in fifth grade. In fifth grade, I had all of the answers to all of the questions that needed to be asked, at least when it came to my spelling tests. 100% on every one of my spelling tests to the point where Mrs. Robinson, my fifth grade teacher, used my spelling tests as a template to grade all of my other classmates' work. It did not make me very popular in school, trust me. But every time Mrs. Robinson would ask a question, oh, my hand would shoot up because I had the answer. I had the answer. And maybe at that point I did have the answer, at least for the superficial textbook kinds of stuff in class. I had the answer, and man, I was going to raise my hand because I so wanted her praise in class. But it was not long before my questions became a little bit more complicated. And I started asking the questions of why that did not have easy answers. Like, why do good people work so hard in life and put so much effort forth and yet not see the reward from the work that they do? Or why is justice sometimes not justice? Or why is there so much suffering in the world? All of these things, we ask all sorts of questions, and during that time period, I asked a lot of questions, and the answers I received, I didn't necessarily like. And so I started withdrawing. But still, even in that time period, in that quiet and lonely place, there were answers coming to me. And somebody was speaking. If only I would be quiet and pay attention and listen. Several years later, or decades later, I was in the doctor's office and I was having a conversation with a nurse, and I started talking about the nurse's personal life. I don't know how exactly we got into that conversation, but suddenly there we were. Perhaps I'm just simply a nosy person. But I could tell something was wrong on her face. She was looking very troubled. So I asked her if everything was okay, and suddenly a floodgate was opened. I found out that she told me that three of her friends in the past year had all committed suicide. And I think to myself, my Lord, how in the world can you have that much misery all compounded into one person's life? And I listened to her and I thought to myself, my gosh, what is my next response going to be as she continued to pour out all of this pain and emotion? She was checking my blood pressure and my temperature, and I just sat there and I listened. And I told myself, I was like, Bill, this is the moment in life of which don't try to give any answer to this time period. I resisted the idea of giving some cliche answer of saying, you know what, things will turn out okay, things will be all right. I told myself, Bill, just be quiet and listen. And as I was sitting there listening, I'm certain that God was speaking to me through this woman that, Bill, the message was, Bill, it is so good that we have one another. Not to pretend like we have all of the answers to life, because we don't. But it is good to have one another. Simply listen and to be in each other's presence in times of absolute misery. I was having a conversation with Jim McCarger after last week's sermon. We were talking a little bit about Pink Floyd, and one of my favorite bands in high school was Pink Floyd. There we go. And one of my favorite albums was The Wall. And if you aren't familiar with The Wall, they was about 40 years old, and they've got a record album that they have, a double disc, and then they came up with a movie for it, and then there's also an awesome theatrical stage show. And I had the chance to go see Roger Waters, one of the former members of the band, perform that several years ago. Mary Beth, did you guys go to that also? You went to Dark Side. Okay, different concert. Okay. But anyways, it was really amazing. I probably watched the movie about 75 times by the time I was in high school. I stopped counting at least at 75, and I've got three copies of the movie The Wall floating around the house somewhere, just in case any of you would like to borrow it. But the movie and the music is strange, definitely, very, very strange. But the message underneath it all is about our human condition, which is alienation. It's about asking that horrible question, why, in some of the most profound places of suffering of life, and not getting any really good answers of why. And so we start withdrawing away because of death of loved ones. We start withdrawing away from each other because we don't get very good answers, or the answers we get are just very painful or hurtful in the process. We would withdraw away because of some of the failures we experience. And with each step that we begin to draw away, we start placing little bricks around ourselves, until at last we have built a wall, cutting ourselves off from the world around us, and perhaps even trying to cut ourselves off from the God who loves us, until we find ourselves desperately alone. And in that place of solitude, there's still someone speaking, if only we are quiet enough to listen and to pay attention. I think that's the place that Job was in the story of his life in the Bible. Now, the most terrifying story in the Bible I think I've ever read is the life of Job, simply because I have seen, it's not just a story in the Bible, I've seen it play out in people's lives over and over and over again. If you aren't really familiar with Job, Job loses everything in his life. He loses his wealth, he loses his health, he loses his reputation. He loses everything that you can possibly imagine in life. And for no really good reason at all. In Job, he had three good friends that come along and try to help him along, to help him try to find some answers to that horrible question, why. And their answer for him is, Job, you must have done something wrong. Certainly, you must be to blame for your life being as miserable as it is. Perhaps God has cursed you or punishing you for something horrible that you've done. You see, in those horrible questions of why, when we sit there in an uncomfortable place, we tend to want to find an answer to that question, why. And sometimes the answers we come up with are just absolutely horrible. But maybe as people, we're more comfortable with a horrible answer than simply admitting we just don't know why. But Job racked his brain trying to find the answer to maybe he had done something wrong. He went back through his life and examined himself, and he couldn't come up with an answer, a definitive answer of what he had done so wrong. Then along comes his wife, and she comes up with her own answer to his situation. She says, well, Job, whatever it is, maybe we can't find the answer of why, but I know what you should do. Just curse God, roll over, and die. Be done with it all. That's an answer. That's something he could have done. Put your last brick in the wall, she says. Seal yourself off, turn off the lights, cash in, and be done. But Job doesn't choose to do either of these things. He chooses to hang on. He sits in that horrible place of not knowing the answer to why, but he hangs on. He quiets himself and he listens for a voice to come to him, a voice that is beyond all of us. God is speaking in all of our lives. And the book of Hebrews implores us to keep listening. Keep listening. When you're asking that question, why, keep listening, because God is speaking. And listen to the voice that draws you home, and don't listen to some of these other voices that lead you astray, because if you fail to listen, then you will drift away from the place of life, the home, the love of God, the place where you need to be. So I think about all the different ways in which God speaks to us in life. And from a scientific viewpoint, we can look at our own creation, our own very being, from the most simple part of our nature to the most complex parts of our identity. God is speaking to us a simple message of, thank goodness we have one another. That's part of God's message to us. In all of the questions why, we may not be able to figure out why life messes up the way it is, but God's answer is, thank goodness we have one another. And I simply look at our nature of who God created us to be. For instance, I can't reproduce myself. That from my very nature of being that I am created, that I need somebody else for the human species to continue on. If God had created us for solitary confinement and to be cut off from one another, then he would have enabled Bill Lyman to reproduce a Bill Lyman with nobody's help at all. I simply would subdivide my cells, I would split off, I would bud a new Bill Lyman, and suddenly a new Bill Lyman would be walking along right next to us. But the very fact of the way in which we continue our species is God's simple message to all of us that we need one another to survive and to continue on. And coming back to that question, why? The very fact that we ask the question why means that we acknowledge the fact that we don't have all of the answers. And when I ask the question why, what I'm doing is I am hoping that one of you might have a clue to give me an answer to that question. And even if all of us, all of my trusted voices in my life still can't have that answer, it's not that the question goes away. All it does is it leads me on to a voice that is beyond me, a voice that is speaking, if only I take the time to pay attention and to listen. And so God tells us that we are not the people that have all of the answers. But as Christians, we are people who are called to listen and to pay attention to when God does speak. And part of that message is, like I said, is thank goodness we have one another. Oops, I just clicked twice. Can you guys skip back to one before this one? Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. When I think about the life of the apostles, you've got two very different apostles that we know in the Bible. We've got the apostle Paul, who came in late in the game, and then you've got the apostle Peter, who is right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now, Peter could say, you know what, I was right there, stood next to Christ. I knew everything about him. I saw his miracles for myself. I listened to him preach. I was there from the beginning. Paul, on the other hand, came in late in the game. While Jesus was preaching, Paul was probably the guy who was fighting against Jesus and arguing against him. And at the end of Jesus' life, after he was resurrected to a new life, it was Paul, who by the name of Saul, was the one who was persecuting the church. And so they're very different people. And one of my points in my message this morning is to learn to listen to each other, for even to very different people. And thank goodness if we choose to listen to each other and not just speak beyond each other, not just to come up with cliche answers or just to set it in our mind that we know the answer to all things. When we learn to answer or learn to listen to one another, God's kingdom begins to grow. So here we have two very different apostles, Paul and Peter. Thank goodness Peter had Paul and Paul had Peter. Thank goodness Paul had Peter, because without Peter, Peter was probably the conservative of the apostles. And he said, you know what, Paul, there are certain things that we cannot compromise. And if we get rid of all of these ideas about who we are as Christians, then we will no longer be Christian at all. And on the other hand, thank goodness Peter had Paul. Because Paul himself realized that if God can even accept me, a persecutor of a church, if God can accept me, then who else is God searching for in this world? And so Paul was able to help Peter hear a new message from God. And Peter was willing to listen. That's the amazing thing. That Peter was able to hear that, you know what, maybe the Holy Spirit is still working. And that the doors of the church should not close. And who knows who will hear the message of Jesus Christ and come and be a part of this and become a part of this body. The point of this is listening. If we fail to hear one another, if we simply speak beyond each other and simply give each other answers, and oftentimes they're bad answers because we have failed to listen to each other, then life becomes a real mess. We become cut off. We experience alienation. And life is not, this is not what the model of life God has called us to. The model that life God has called us to is a model of life together, not a life of alienation. And as we try to struggle to find answers to that question, why, just a reminder, don't listen to every voice that speaks. Job had to figure that one out pretty quickly. The voices that tell you to give up because you're no good, ignore them. The voices that tell you to roll over and just die, don't listen to them. But if there is a voice in your life that is speaking, that is providing hope and a way forward, perhaps that's God speaking through that person. Or the voices that lead you to life, listen to those voices. And so in summary, as Christians, we are not the people who claim to have all of the answers. I don't have all the answers. I gave up on that by 11 years old. We are people who ask the question, why? In places of profound suffering and in places of great joy. We ask that question. And so our identity is this, that we are a people in both places of profound suffering and in great joy, who hang on, who pay attention, and listen for God's voice to come and to speak Christ's great message of salvation. Amen. Friends, today we celebrate World Communion, which, World Communion, if you're not familiar with this particular